Welcome to our Election 2020 special coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio. Today we feature debate between the candidates for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District leading up to the election on Tuesday, November 3rd. I'm Ezra Wall, the host of Newsmakers, a regional program based in La Crosse. Today we welcome the incumbent, Representative Ron Kind, a Democrat from La Crosse, and Derek Van Orden, a Republican from Hager City. The 3rd Congressional District includes all or parts of 18 counties in western and central Wisconsin: La Crosse, Eau Claire, Wood, Portage, Chippewa, Grant, Monroe, Dunn, Pierce, Vernon, Trempealeau, Juneau, Jackson, Adams, Richland, Crawford, Buffalo, and Pepin. Among the larger cities in the district are Eau Claire, La Crosse, Stevens Point, Wisconsin Rapids, Menominee, River Falls, Chippewa Falls, Plover, Platteville, Sparta, and Toma. Before we begin, thank you to the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce. Because of our partnership, we're able to use the Paragon virtual platform from Eau Claire-based Wynn Technologies as the technical backbone of today's debate. Now, let me introduce our guests for the hour. Ron Kind is a Democrat. He has represented the voters of Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District since 1997. An attorney by education, Kind holds degrees from Harvard, the London School of Economics, and the University of Minnesota Law School. Representative Kind, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Ezra. Glad to be with you.
Derek Van Orden is a Republican, a retired Navy SEAL. His combat deployments include Bosnia-Herzegovina, Afghanistan, and Iraq. He's also been an actor, an author, and a small business owner. He and his wife currently live on a small hobby farm in Hager City. Mr. Van Orden, thank you for participating today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. This is a wonderful forum.
So let's begin by asking each of you to introduce yourselves. The challenger, Derek Van Orden, we'll start with you. Why do you want to represent the 3rd Congressional District? What qualifies you to do so?
Well, my name is Derek Van Orden. I was a Navy SEAL for over 21 years, and I deployed to combat 5 times in that capacity. My wife, Sarah Jane, and I have been married for 27 years. We have 4 children and 6 grandchildren. After I retired from the military, I started a small business. But I decided to get back into public service when Ron Kind cast his vote for the impeachment of the President of the United States. And you're going to find out today that I'm not a politician. You're also going to find out that Ron Kind is politics. He's going to use as many words as possible to not answer a question. Well, I'm going to make you 3 promises today. Number one, I'm going to go to work for you every single day. Ron, you have one of the worst attendance records of any member of Congress. And number two, I'm always going to put your interest before my own. Ron, you continue to collect your $174,000 government check while tens of thousands of Wisconsinites are out of business and waiting for unemployment insurance compensation. That's unacceptable. And number three, I will never lie to you. Ron, you told our sheriffs that you had their back, and you did not. And that's why 13 of the 18 county sheriffs, including lifelong Democrats, are publicly supporting my campaign. And they represent over 550,000 of our constituents. I'm deeply looking forward to the honor of representing everyone in the 3rd District of the state of Wisconsin as your next congressman. Thank you.
Representative Kind, to you, why do you think the voters of the 3rd District should send you back to Washington for another term?
Well, thank you, Ezra, for doing this, for moderating it. Thank you, Wisconsin Public Radio, for holding these candidate forums. And I want to thank the Eau Claire Chamber for sponsoring this one in particular. But, you know, Ezra, I think the opening statement of my opponent really says a lot. This is what's wrong with American politics today. This politics of grievance, of partisan attacks, of misleading, misinforming voters. And that's what has to end, because we face some serious challenges right now. Listen, I know this congressional district, the people in it, and I think the people in this district know me too. I'm a kid who grew up in a low-income family on the north side of La Crosse. I was the first generation to go on to school. Tawny and I have raised our family right here. I know the challenges and the opportunities that we face back home here. But I also know an effective way of getting things done. It's being respectful, it's being civil, and listening to one another. That's why I've been rated as one of the most independent members of the U.S. Congress year after year. And also, the National Chamber of Commerce gave me their very first ever national award for being one of the most bipartisan members of Congress. I think we need more of that these days. People capable of bringing people together, working hard to find common ground to get things accomplished, especially now in the midst of a global pandemic where the positivity rate, the hospitalization rate, the death rate is all skyrocketing here in Wisconsin. We face serious challenges, too, as we emerge from this pandemic, how we're going to rebuild Wisconsin, build America back even better than before so we're not leaving anyone behind. How are we going to address the crisis with our family farmers and what our small businesses are going through today? How do we address the existential threat of global climate change and what that means for us, but also for our children and grandchildren's future? These are serious issues that I think need some pragmatic leaders in this country to address. But those who are willing to reach across the aisle, find common ground to get things done. You know, that's the type of representative that I've been. That's the type of representative I pledge to be, instead of just the constant partisan attacks. This polarization that we have in American politics, exemplified by my opponent's opening statement, is not healthy, and it's not going to solve the problems that people are wrestling with in their daily lives. And that's why I'm running for this congressional seat once again, and I ask for people's support with the early voting happening, but also on November 3rd.
All right. And our first question, other than the introduction, comes to you, Representative Kind. First, government response to the coronavirus pandemic has been politicized. When you consider how the government has responded to the pandemic, what do you think your party could have done to reduce partisan gridlock?
Well, I tell you, Ezra, I'm proud that earlier this year when the pandemic just landed on our shores, we knew we had a crisis at our doorstep. We did come together in a bipartisan way, passed three COVID relief bills to support small businesses, to support laid off workers and their families, to support family farmers, too, but also to support our healthcare providers that are on the front lines of this pandemic, making sure they're getting PPEs, personal protection equipment, and the testing supplies that they needed. And also supporting education, as difficult as it's been with distance learning and trying to reopen these schools. I have been disappointed, however, that we haven't been able to come together for another COVID relief package because the damage is still out there. This virus is not done with us, and the need is still great. That I'm hoping in the coming days we're going to be able to come together in a bipartisan way to provide additional relief to our small businesses and family farmers who are struggling mightily right now, and to those families who are having a hard time paying their bills. I'm every week on a virtual call with our healthcare providers in this state. They're telling me they're running short of personal protection equipment again, the testing supply, the reagent that they need. Our public health directors that are on the front lines are under the gun too and under-resourced when it comes to the contact tracing that we need. So this recession that we're in right now doesn't have to last as long, doesn't have to be as deep, it doesn't have to be as damaging, as long as we're willing to work together. And that starts with leadership on an individual basis, making sure that those of us in a leadership role are showing the proper way of addressing this virus. It means washing our hands a lot, maintaining proper distancing, but it also means wearing a face mask. And that's where leadership begins. And unfortunately, my opponent is still fond of going to large group gatherings without wearing a face mask, shaking hands, hugging people, all the things that our public health directors and our healthcare experts are telling us not to do to prevent the spread of this virus. So leadership is needed right now. And unfortunately, from the Oval Office to many of those running for office, they're missing the mark when it comes to practical steps we can do to protect one another, to try to keep ourselves healthy until we can develop a safe and effective vaccine to inoculate people.
Mr. Van Orden, the same question to you. What can your party do to reduce partisan gridlock on the coronavirus response?
Well, let's be very, very clear. The coronavirus is real. It's been devastating to our population. We've lost over 200,000 Americans. And the death of a single American is a tragedy to at least another person. So we take this exceptionally seriously. What we need to work on collectively here is to make sure that we have a safe and effective vaccination. And that's what the president has been doing through his Operation Warp Speed. We also need to simultaneously work on getting therapeutics online so that people who are affected by the coronavirus can have rapid treatment. It's exceptionally important that we balance public safety with personal freedoms. And I think that's what Representative Kind has been referring to. We engage with American citizens at their level of comfort. If they feel comfortable coming and speaking to us directly at an event, that's great. We have hand sanitizer available. We have face masks available. We have chairs set up. So if they want to socially distance themselves, and if they're not comfortable with that, we have an exceptionally robust internet platform so that people can tune into our events remotely. We Facebook Live everything because it's incredibly important during a time of crisis to make sure that everybody has the most pertinent information available. And that's what we're doing to our folks. We're gathering information from the constituents here in the 3rd District. And quite frankly, I've run into more people who have never seen Ron Kind over 24 years that he's been in office. I don't know why that's funny, Ron. So I've talked to so many people that have never engaged with their congressman over 2 decades, and that's what we're doing. We need to find out what the people need and then how to address their needs appropriately. And right now, that is to make sure that we can develop a safe and effective vaccination, that we can develop therapeutics and other treatment modalities to get through this virus. We have to safely, effectively, efficiently, and quickly open our economy again. Otherwise, we're not going to have an America to return to. And that includes getting our young adults and students back into school face-to-face in the most efficient and safe manner for them so that they can actually learn the importance of governance and how we need to move forward as a nation.
Mr. Van Orden, next question is to you first. The CARES Act and other federal programs injected significant resources into the economy, both through programs like the PPP for businesses, as well as unemployment benefits and direct payments for individuals. But as talks continue to stall, many of these initial programs are phasing out without anything to replace them. What should the federal government be doing right now?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the CARES Act is great. It was wonderful. The PPP was one of the best federal programs that has been implemented in decades, and that's fantastic. Now, unfortunately, there's $800 million left of PPP sitting on the shelf that has been allocated that Ron Kind and the Democrat Party refused to sign a discharge petition to release the $800 million that is already allocated for PPP. That's, Ron, that's right on your shoulders and Nancy Pelosi's. The other thing, unfortunately, that has crept in is the HEROES Act. Now, Ron Kind and Nancy Pelosi insist on passing the HEROES Act. In that act, there's $1,200 of Western Wisconsin taxpayers' monies allocated for illegal immigrants. That's billions and billions of dollars that Ron Kind insists on having paid to illegal immigrants in order for a corona relief virus package. That doesn't have to do with American citizens and the corona relief packages. We have to put politics aside completely and make sure that we are focusing directly on the American citizens and taxpayers of Western Wisconsin so that we can help them get their businesses through this lull period to make sure that they get unemployment insurance compensation as needed to make sure that they can provide for their families until these businesses reopen again.
Representative Kind, to you, what should the federal government be doing right now in terms of coronavirus relief?
Well, first of all, to address Derek's concern, listen, Congress did authorize, we did appropriate, the administration has money that they can allocate to small businesses and family farmers. In fact, I was working night and day when the Paycheck Protection Program first rolled out, on the phone with many of our community banks, credit union, local banks, making sure they had the correct guidance in order to get this money out and supporting small businesses. But I was also the first representative to demand that our family farmers be treated as a small business, which they are, so that they qualified for all the small business relief programs, which they now do with legislation that I introduced in a bipartisan way to make sure we weren't leaving family farmers out of this assistance. And now we need to come together for another round of assistance because, as you rightly pointed out, Ezra, these programs are expiring. Our food security is going through the roof again with food needs in our own community. Small businesses, especially in the service sector, are really struggling right now. Anything that requires any large groups of people to come together are getting hit especially hard in the middle of this virus. Our healthcare providers are still demanding more help when it comes to personal protection equipment and the testing supplies. There's nothing more infuriating. And 10 months after this virus landed on our shores, we still lack a national plan and a national strategy to defeat this virus. And it's because of the politics that have been played around it, starting in the Oval Office with the president refusing to accept responsibility and refusing to take the lead on the greatest national security threat that we faced as a nation in our lifetime. And he's expecting all this to devolve back at the local level, expecting them to go out and address this on their own. And instead, he's created a situation where 50 governors now have to go into the private marketplace, compete against each other, driving up prices for the crucial supplies that they need, when we should have had better national coordination working with state and local governments, and especially listening to our healthcare experts. But unfortunately, 10 months into this, that's still not being done. And because of it, to a large extent, the positivity rate is skyrocketing, the hospitalization rate skyrocketing, our death rate here in Wisconsin is going up. And it starts with the lack of leadership coming out of the White House and those running for office like my opponent, who still refuses to adhere to the basic medical guidelines in order to keep each other safe. Ezra, we know through research now that just by wearing a face mask will prevent 95% of the spread in our community. That's not a lot of sacrifice to be asking of one another in order to keep each other safe. Either we're all in this together or this virus is going to win at the end of the day.
The next question comes to you first, Representative Kind. This summer saw several demonstrations, including some in cities in the 3rd District, protesting racism and calling for police reform after the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis and the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha. What responsibilities does Congress have when dealing with issues involving institutional racism and policing?
Ezra, I'd submit it's not just Congress, but it's all of us as members of this great nation of ours. We all have a responsibility to step up, to treat each other respectfully, to listen to each other, to find the areas that we can work on together. And that's exactly the leadership that I've provided since the incident of George Floyd and Jacob Blake and Breonna Taylor. I've reached out in the community immediately, not just with the demonstrators, demanding to be treated equally and decently in our society. That's not a lot for them to ask for. But I also reached out to law enforcement to get feedback from them on what's working and what isn't, and what we need to do to strengthen trust in law enforcement, which they need to do their job safely and effectively and to protect all of us. And I reached out to community leaders, getting feedback from them too, what we need to do to come together to strengthen that trust and to treat each one of us with the dignity and respect that, that people deserve. And that work is on all of us, not just with Congress. But I think there are some practical legislative steps that we can take to increase transparency in law enforcement. I've been one of the leading advocates of increasing resources. I don't support defunding the police. I support increasing resources for de-escalation training, for implicit bias training. In fact, I and my staff just went through implicit bias training ourselves, and it was eye-opening. We should be doing this throughout society instead of laying this all on the shoulders of law enforcement, although they do have a huge responsibility given the responsibility that we put on them. And that's where leadership starts, Ezra. It's by reaching out in the community, which I've done with demonstrators, to listen to them and what they want to try to accomplish with our local leaders, with local governments, and with law enforcement. Listen, I'm a former prosecutor myself here in Western Wisconsin, a special prosecutor. My younger brother has been a police officer at the Holman Police Department for 24 years. I grew up with many of these officers and deputies, and I've worked closely with them. But they'll be the first to admit that there's room for improvement. But no one hates a bad cop more than a good cop. And unfortunately, we have a problem that needs to be addressed rather than an issue that needs to be weaponized politically, as my opponent has been trying to do in the course of this campaign. That will only further divide our community and make law enforcement's job that much more difficult because of his inability to bring people in and find common ground.
Mr. Van Orden, what responsibility does Congress have when dealing with issues involving institutional racism and policing?
Hey, to say that there hasn't been an issue with race relations in the United States of America since our inception would just be it's historically inaccurate. And that's something that we have to work on every single day. And throughout my career as a Navy SEAL and as a small businessman, I've been known to bring people together from very diverse backgrounds. And how you bring people together, first and foremost, is you simply don't lie to them. Now, Ron, you got on a phone call with all of our 18 sheriffs, and you said that you had their back, that you would not remove qualified immunity from them, because that is a left-wing end around for defunding the police. That's factual. So you got on the horn and you said that you had their backs. And you did not. That's why 13 of the 18 county sheriffs in our district, including the sheriff that represents your brother, the police officer in La Crosse County, have publicly endorsed my campaign, Ron. They've done that. And some of these folks are lifelong Democrats because they understand that, in fact, you do not have the backs of our police officers. You do not back the blue. And you've proven that through your actions. Interestingly enough, your D rating that you got from the NRA sums up your legislative career perfectly. It says, regardless of public statements, can be counted on to vote wrong on key issues. And this is simply one of them, Ron. Our sheriffs understand that I back the blue, that I am absolutely 100% for public order and for law and order. We need to make sure that our streets are safe and that our citizens can go about their daily business without fear of being attacked by anybody. Are there issues with the police department? Absolutely. Are they crushing issues that you are inferring? Absolutely not. These people get up every single day and put body armor on to go protect our lives. And they do it with not the greatest pay. And certainly they're getting a horrible press right now, but they still insist on getting up every single day and protecting our citizens because they love our communities and they love our countries. And I absolutely 100% 24/7 back the blue.
Ezra, may I respond since he attacked my integrity and character just now?
I'll give you 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Let me just say this, Derek, that you are completely misrepresenting any discussion I had with law enforcement, and you know better. And it should be shameful because you're just seeking to divide our community when we need to bring them together. Listen, I back the blue, too. For those officers and deputies who show up truly wanting to serve and protect their community each and every day under difficult circumstances. But what I don't back is a police officer kneeling on the neck of a black man, lying face down on the ground with handcuffs behind his back for 9 minutes until he dies. And I do not support police reports that are doctored or changed or body cams that are turned off or covered up at convenient moments or any type of bias or discrimination or ill treatment of people just because they look differently or sound a little bit differently. And once more, I don't think any law enforcement backs that type of badge either. So shame on you for trying to politicize such an important issue about strengthening trust in law enforcement and showing people the respect that they deserve. We need to come together, and that's what true leadership is about, not playing these partisan games that you're fond of.
Okay.
Hey, Ezra, I just need 20 seconds real quick.
15, go ahead.
Roger that. Hey, Ron, in no way, shape, or form have I ever advocated for any type of unlawful behavior. So that's just wrong, and you're trying to loop this in and evoke an emotional response from people. I back law and order, and that includes all the way through the police. You commit a crime, you wear a badge, you're a criminal. That's easy. But let's put it this way, Ron. Either all 18 of our county sheriffs are lying, or you are, because I've spoken to them. And it just comes down to that. The simple fact is you told them you had your back and you do not. Those are their words, not
Derek,
mine.
That's just not true. And it's not accurate. You're just playing.
Mr. Van Orden, the next question goes to you. Most of Wisconsin is overwhelmingly white. Yet in communities with higher minority populations, residents highlight stubborn disparities between the experiences of black and white Wisconsinites. As a member of Congress, what would you do to amplify and center the voices and concerns of black, indigenous, and people of color in the 3rd District?
Hey, Ezra, thank you for this. This is a wonderful question. I am uniquely qualified in this aspect. I've worked on the Navajo Reservation when I was a younger man completing my medical training. And I have a heart for First Nation folks, including our Ho-Chunk here in our district. We have, that's the largest indigenous population we have here. I've worked with Hmong tribesmen in the hills of Vietnam, repatriating the remains of American servicemen and women who were missing in action. And I have a dear heart for these people that fought with us against communism in Vietnam, and they were able to bring them here to the United States where they could start their lives again as American citizens. I've lived and worked on 5 of the 7 continents that have been responsible for brokering deals between disparate people to make sure that we can complete the mission. And that mission in particular was to make sure that our American servicemen and women and our allies were not being killed by people who they have a different view of how they think the world should be run. So I have proven throughout my 26-year history in the military, 21 of a SEAL, living and working on 5 of the 7 continents, with Hmong in Vietnam, with the Navajo in Shiprock, New Mexico, that I can bring together people of disparate backgrounds because I actually listen to them and understand things from their perspective. That's what makes me absolutely uniquely qualified to represent our minority populations throughout the 3rd District of the state of Wisconsin.
Representative Kind, how do you center and amplify minority voices in the 3rd District?
Well, first of all, you do listen. You get together with them. And ever since George Floyd, that's exactly what I've been doing, reaching out to the minority community to get feedback from them. I would venture to guess that my opponent hasn't done that once in the course of this summer. And I would also emphasize that the demonstrations that we've seen on the streets throughout Western Wisconsin have been peaceful. They have been civil. They have been respectful. That's exactly what it's going to take to bring people together to address concerns of ill treatment and mistreatment that unfortunately still exists in our society. I'm proud of my legislative record, standing up for equal treatment of all of our citizens, regardless of race, color, creed, origin. And I would stack that up against anyone. But what we don't need are those running for office seeking to divide our community, seeking to politicize important issues when it comes to race relations, seeking to misrepresent what's being done out there. And unfortunately, that's been the tactic that my opponent has taken from day one. It's not how to solve the problems that we have in our own community so we can live in peace with one another respectfully, but how to divide politically and charge people up and continue to push buttons. We've had too much of that these last 4 years. And I think, quite frankly, people are tired and exhausted by all of it. And the last thing we need is send another person to Washington who will only know how to divide and how to misrepresent and how to lie about people when, in fact, you have to treat them respectfully and work on those issues that do unite us.
You're listening to our Election 2020 special coverage here on Wisconsin Public Radio, a debate today between the candidates for 3rd District Member of Congress in Wisconsin. They are the incumbent Democrat Ron Kind and his challenger Republican Derek Van Orden, and we're thankful for both of them taking time today to join us. On the issue of health care, this question goes to you, Representative Kind. First, the U.S. Supreme Court is due to consider a major case next month relating to the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. With Amy Coney Barrett likely to take part in those proceedings, court watchers think there's a chance the ACA could be thrown out. What plan do you support to assure individuals in the 3rd District still have access to quality health care?
First, Ezra, I oppose that misguided lawsuit. Unfortunately, my opponent has supported it, as has the President of the United States, to completely repeal the Affordable Care Act, along with all the patient protections that come with it, including protections for people now with pre-existing conditions that would lose those protections if this lawsuit throws out the Affordable Care Act. I've also supported other patient protections, such as young adults staying on their parents' plans till 26. That would be gone if the lawsuit prevails. Also, seniors in Medicare get free prevention and wellness visits. There's a prohibition now to any lifetime or annual payment caps that insurance companies used to impose on people. And if you're in a family that's been stricken by cancer, you blow through those caps almost immediately in any year or in any given lifetime, as my family did when my son came down with cancer. Derek's been running these ads about me missing some votes over the last couple of years. And unfortunately, I did have to because my son was battling cancer. And I did what any reasonable parent would do under the circumstances. I stayed by his side when he had an operation and during his chemotherapy treatment. It was well reported back home, Derek. In fact, people saw the shaven head that I have out of solidarity for my son who lost his hair during the course of chemotherapy. Now, all these things would be in jeopardy now. And unfortunately, that's a lawsuit that my opponent has supported, along with legislation to repeal all these protections with no alternative, with no plan B. So it's a very dangerous game that he and others are playing with people's health care and the security that they need right now when it comes to health care protection. So I'm going to do everything in my power to ensure that those with pre-existing conditions are protected, that we don't have a return of annual or lifetime payments, that young adults can't stay on their parents' plans until 26, that seniors get free prevention and wellness, and also the work I'm doing to lower the cost of prescription drugs, which is one of the major cost drivers in our country. For the life of me, I don't know why the federal government can't negotiate fair prices with the pharmaceutical industry. But unfortunately, that's enshrined into law by a bill that Republicans unfortunately passed in Congress years ago that I'm trying to correct right now so that our seniors and those that need prescription drug coverage can get it at an affordable price.
Mr. Van Orden, to you, what program or plan do you support to assure individuals in the 3rd District still have access to quality health care?
Yeah. Hey, Ron, I got to tell you, all politics aside, I'm a Christian and I've been praying for you and your family. That's just something we owe each other as American citizens, and that's just terrible. I just want to be real clear about something, though. I am a 100% service-connected disabled veteran, and I also have children with very significant orthopedic issues, and we've sat in that waiting room, Ron. We've sat with them, and we've prayed as they've been underneath general anesthesia several times, and it's heart-wrenching, And so, again, all politics aside, man, that's I pray for your family, and I hope that your son is doing well. I really do. We have to work together as Americans with this healthcare issue. So I just want to be very explicitly clear to every single person listening to this. I don't care who writes any type of healthcare plan. I will never even enter into a conversation with somebody if that does not include rock solid provisions to take care of all people with pre-existing conditions, our children included, Ron. Here's the problem, though. With Obamacare, Ron, you went around telling everybody that if they like their plan, they can keep their plan. You said that repeatedly. No, Ron, the internet's forever, okay? And you said that repeatedly. That was voted the number one political lie of the year. Over 7 million Americans lost their plan. Ron, you can shake your head all you want. The internet
Misrepresenting it again. I'll shake my head all day when you lie about my record.
Ron, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't interrupt me. Let's look at this. Your top donors are
in this conversation now.
Your top donors are pharmaceutical companies, medical insurance companies, healthcare companies, hospitals, and doctors' consortiums. Those are your top donors. You have made millions and millions of dollars from these special interest groups that revolve around healthcare, and they have made billions of dollars off the American taxpayers because of your support for Obamacare. Does it need to be repealed? Absolutely. But just to be clear, to make sure that you don't get to continue to say this lie on television, I will not sign on to any program ever, regardless if you wrote it, if it does not have rock solid provisions to cover people, including our seniors, with pre-existing conditions, period.
Mr. Van Orden, U.S. intelligence leaders warned last week that Russia and Iran are trying to interfere with this very election, the 2020 election. President Trump has warned that this election is going to be a fraud like you've never seen, as he says. Election officials argue that voting is secure, with little chance of fraud. Personally, are you concerned about the integrity of this election?
Well, Ezra, I was involved in the national security apparatus for about 22 of my 26 years in the military service. So Russia is a real threat. China is a real threat. Iran is a real threat. North Korea is a real threat. We cannot pretend like they are not. But I have confidence in the American system of voting. I have confidence that our post office is capable of handling these mail-in ballots. I have confidence that our local clerks are going to do their job as Americans and make sure that they secure the vote. Absolutely. Voting is one of the most precious gifts that we're given by living in the United States of America. And in 2005, I was there in downtown Baghdad when some of these people cast the first vote ever in their entire life. You have 70 and 80-year-old men crying because they were given the opportunity to vote for the first time in their lives. So I hold this very, very precious and very dear. And I want everybody listening right now to make sure that you get out and vote. You have to participate in this beautiful democracy that we have. So exercise the freedoms that you've been given. Go to the polling station on voting day if you need to. If you can't get out of your house, vote early. If you can vote absentee early, do that. Just please make sure that your voice is heard this November. It's incredibly important. So get out there and vote.
Representative Kind, what about your confidence in the integrity of the election?
Well, Ezra, let me be clear. I'm very confident in the fairness, the accuracy, the integrity of the election process here in Wisconsin. It is run by our county and city clerks, and they do a very good job. And I'm happy that Wisconsin gives people the option to vote early and vote safely from home, especially in the middle of this pandemic, which many people are exercising their right to do. And starting last Tuesday, people can vote early in person. That's another nice option. Or if they choose to wait on election day on November 3rd. But it's nice to have those options. But let's be clear that the evidence and everything that's been gathered shows direct foreign interference in our election process. If there's one thing that should unite us all in Americans, it's the understanding of the belief that that is unacceptable. And that starts at the very top by the President of the United States acknowledging openly what's happening, that all the intelligence agencies have told us for the last 5 years, and then being willing to do something about it. But unfortunately, this president not only denies that information that's provided to him, but refuses to stand up to Vladimir Putin in Russia time and time again. and in fact sides with Putin when it comes to his explanation of what's doing, contrary to all of our intelligence agencies who are telling him exactly the difference. That's a very dangerous situation for our democracy, because it not only gives Putin the green light to continue to meddle and interfere, but it's giving that green light to any other dictator in the world that wants to come in and mess with us. This is a time for strong leadership. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, President Trump is refusing to stand up to this foreign threat. And it's something that should unite us. And in fact, just the opposite. It's been shown overwhelmingly that he actively solicited another country to directly interfere in our election process on his behalf. And it's irrefutable, the testimony that came in. That, too, should garner bipartisan condemnation and a recognition that no one running for office, especially the President of the United States, should be soliciting any foreign government's help on their election campaign. The president continues to do that, even through his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, who's spreading this false story about the Biden family, which is being debunked by our intel agencies. And yet the president is still running with in the closing days of this campaign.
All right, sir, I'd like 20 seconds to respond, please.
Go ahead.
Okay, first and foremost, I want everyone to be very clear that I'm not running for president of the United States. I'm running for Congress in the 3rd District here in the state of Wisconsin. Number two, Ron, you voted for the impeachment of the president of the United States after wasting 2 years of the people's time by chasing these continuous series of hoaxes. And you know what? The people of the state of Wisconsin don't appreciate that. You were the last person out of the 535 members of Congress to cast your vote for impeachment because you knew it was going to go over like a lead balloon in the district. And it did. You can't get away from that, Ron. So
Ezra,
let me respond.
You know, the reason I was one of the last ones, because I was one doing my homework. I was reading the testimony. I was going through every piece of evidence because I knew how important a decision of that is for our democracy. And that's, you know, accused my prosecutorial background of doing those background checks and making sure I had the most accurate information about what in fact took place. And after I assessed that, the evidence was overwhelming, beyond a reasonable doubt, that the president solicited the government of Ukraine to interfere in our election process on his behalf. And once more, he's still doing it through Rudy Giuliani and Russian intel agents that are feeding him this information that our own intelligence agency are briefing us to be on the guard for, including members of Congress. We've received this briefing, Derek, and you should know better, being someone that has some background in this area.
To be clear, Ron, you are the reason I'm running for Congress when you cast that vote to impeach the president of the United
States. We're moving on to the next question, which both of you will be delighted to know is about the top of the ticket. No. At the top of the ballot next week's election is the presidential race. I'd like each of you to talk about the candidate on the top of your ticket and what extent their values align with yours. So, Mr. Van Orden, we'll start with you. What do you think of President Trump and Vice President Pence?
Hey, I'm very proud to stand with President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. President Trump is able to accomplish more things with the greatest adversarial relationship with the press since, I think, really any president in the history of the United States. Can he speak brashly times? Absolutely. But look at the man's accomplishments. He has done more for, across the board, the lowest unemployment rates for all demographics in the history of the United States of America, the lowest unemployment rates in the state of Wisconsin in our state's history. He is the first president since Eisenhower to not get us involved in a foreign conflict. I've had more friends than I care to remember killed and grievously injured in these endless wars. And President Trump has done his best to remove us from those. And that is incredibly important. I think it has not been highlighted. President Trump just entered into the fourth agreement with an Arab nation and Israel. He's been nominated for 4 Nobel Peace Prizes. So these agreements between Arabs and Israel are incredibly important. He moved the United States Embassy to Jerusalem, the historic capital of Israel. These accomplishments have just been underplayed by a hostile press. And unfortunately, the Democrat Party, who is more interested in playing politics with people than really caring about world peace and the development of our economy. The man's accomplishments are amazing. Vice President Mike Pence, is one of the kindest, most generous men I've ever met in my entire life. He is a true blue American who gets up every day, as does the president, and tries to figure out how they can make this nation better. And that's what leaders are supposed to do, make things better for those around them.
Representative Kind, at the top of your ticket, former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Kamala Harris, what's your assessment of that ticket?
Ezra, let me put it this way to all the listeners out there. Are you as completely exhausted after the last 4 years as I am with the utter chaos and indecency coming out of the Oval Office? It's time that we restore honesty and integrity, decency and character, and some compassion in the Oval Office again. That's where true leadership starts. And that's the character of Joe Biden. Everyone knows Joe Biden and what he's about. He's an honest, decent, caring individual. But more importantly than that, Joe Biden knows us. You know, when my son contracted cancer last year, he was one of the first phone calls that I received just to let us know that we're not alone in going through this struggle with him, that he suffered that within his own family, with Bo, his son, that he lost to cancer a few years ago. And the fact that he had a car accident where he lost his wife and daughter. And he gets the fact that people are struggling out there in great pain. But also at a time of a global pandemic, we need steady, honest leadership. Leadership that will first listen to the best medical and scientific advice and adhere to that advice in order to protect people. Not someone who's at constant war with his top medical advisors in the White House about how best to address the virus. And then to go out and have super spreader, huge campaign events where most of the people aren't wearing face masks. We want to be able to protect all our citizens. And the other thing about Joe Biden that separates him from Donald Trump, Joe Biden does not see a red America and a blue America. He sees a red, white, and blue America. And he believes in the opportunity to bring people back together again, rather than just finding political fights and separating people based on party allegiance. We've had enough of that. And we need to restore that type of leadership in our country again, capable of finding common ground, being respectful and decent to another, but who's willing to level to the American people and be truthful to them and not admit during a book interview that you purposely downplay the danger of a virus and continue to downplay that danger, which is spreading like wildfire right now throughout our state and throughout our country. That's why I think it's time for a change. And I think the average person feels it too, that they're utterly exhausted by how divided this country has become in the last 4 years. That's not how I've conducted myself as one of the most bipartisan, one of the most independent members of Congress. Again, I think we need more of that these days in Washington and Madison, rather than those who are only interested in playing the partisan game.
You're listening.
15 seconds, please.
Very, very quickly.
Hey, Ron, you just did exactly what I said you're going to do earlier. You just spent 2.5 minutes using 1,000 words and not answering the question. You were not able to mention a single accomplishment that Joe Biden made in 47 years in office. That's all.
Mr. Kind?
Well, Derek is just misread. Unfortunately, I don't answer questions the way he wants me to, so he has a problem with it. But, you know, Joe Biden was there and realized the importance of the Affordable Care Act and how that extended affordable health care coverage to millions of Americans, including protecting people with pre-existing conditions. He's not a candidate like you are, Derek, or the president, that's seeking to repeal all those protections with no alternative and no plan B. That's an incredibly dangerous game you're playing with the lives of Wisconsinites and Americans.
Okay. Okay, and we're reintroducing our listeners to what's going on here. We're listening to the Election 2020 special coverage here on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the debate between the 3rd District candidates for Congress, Representative Ron Kind, a Democrat, and Derek Van Orden, a Republican. And we're turning our attention now to the economy. Representative Kind, you get this question first. Wisconsin's unemployment rate spiked during the shutdown at around 14%. It's dropped considerably now at 5.4%. The most recent numbers show unemployment is still almost twice as high as it was in January. How can the economy be expected to recover when COVID-19 related restrictions continue to hamper small businesses in the state?
I'll tell you how, Ezra, because the strength of our economy is going to depend on the health of all Wisconsinites, and you can't have one without the other. And so the number one issue that we need to address is giving people the confidence to return to work or to go out and shop again, knowing that their health is going to be protected. And again, there's a simple way of doing that. Please wear a face mask. You know, this isn't a red issue or a blue issue. It's a red, white, and blue issue. If you want to see kids in the classroom again, if you want to see our Main Street businesses open again, we just need to wear face masks that prevent the spread of this virus by 95%. We know it works. And yet the message that we're getting from candidates like Derek, who's out there at large group gatherings without wearing a face mask and shaking hands, is irresponsible in the midst of this. And also the message that the president continues to step on from his top medical advisors, even within his own coronavirus task force. And so we have to be able to do both at the same time, protect people's health and open up this economy with good paying jobs. And the economy of the future should not look like the economy of the past, where too many people were being left behind. We've had growing income inequality, where there weren't enough good paying jobs. But I'll also say this. One of the chief challenges that we have, even before the virus hit our shores, was a tight labor supply. And any business I went to, large or small, were complaining about the pool of available qualified workers that they could hire up. That's going to continue to be a challenge as we emerge from this virus, too. So the more we can invest in human beings again with quality education, job training programs, lifelong learning skills, so that the jobs of the future will be there for them, is something that we have to be able to do as we build back better here in Wisconsin and America again.
Mr. Van Orden, how can the economy be expected to recover when COVID-19 related restrictions continue to hamper small businesses?
Yeah, hey man, my wife and I started a small business after I retired from the military. And we would be bankrupt if this happened right now with the continuous shutdown of our small businesses, the arbitrary and capricious measures that Ron Kine continues to support. We have to make sure that we can open our economy safely, effectively, efficiently, and quickly. That means working very, very hard through Operation Warp Speed to develop a safe and effective vaccine for COVID-19. And to make sure that we develop therapeutics and other treatment modalities to make sure that if people are stricken by COVID-19, that they're able to get healthy again and get back. Unfortunately, Ron just continues to kick the can down the road. We have to defeat this virus. We can't just continue to hide from it. We understand that there are vulnerable populations within our district and the country, and we have to protect them vigorously. Those are truly the greatest generation. We forget about that. The greatest generation of people that gave us our freedoms are those that are most vulnerable to the coronavirus right now. And we absolutely have to protect them 100% of the time. But we also have to make sure that we have an economy that's functioning again. And we do that by taking common sense measures, absolutely, Ron, but also developing vaccines, therapeutics, and other treatment modalities to make sure that people can get through and defeat this virus. That's first and foremost on everybody's mind, including the President of the United States. And getting our kids and young adults back to school is imperative. I'm afraid that our entire generation of American young adults and children are taking a gap year, and that's just unacceptable in this world economy when we have to make sure that our educational standards are increasing so that we can compete in a further technologically advanced global market.
Mr. Van Orden.
Ezra, you know who else is in favor of these common sense measures? Our local chambers of commerce that are working closely with our public health directors, all of whom are recommending facial coverings and face masks.
I'd like to move on.
Their businesses.
I'd like to move on to another question, which goes first to Mr. Van Orden. Until COVID-19 created recent job losses, businesses faced tighter labor market. What role, if any, should the immigration play in solving some of our workforce issues? And what do you feel should be the character of our federal immigration policies?
Well, first and foremost, let me be clear. We're a nation of immigrants. Half of my family moved here before the Revolutionary War, and the other half came when they had issues growing potatoes in Ireland. So we are a nation of immigrants, and immigration should be celebrated here in the United States. And you're right. One of the primary platforms that we're working on prior to the COVID-19 is immigration, because we are an agricultural district. We have one major manufacturer and several smaller manufacturers, and they count on year-round labor. The way that our immigration system is designed right now, it's predominantly for seasonal labor. Well, you can't tell that cow to quit milking just because you can't get someone to come in and milk her in the off season. So revamping the immigration system, which is something Ron Kind could have been working on for the 24 years he's been in Congress, he could have been working on this, but he chose not to. So we need to revamp our immigration system. So first and foremost, our manufacturers and farmers have the available labor so that they can continue to produce products and provide services to people that are the best in the entire world. But if we don't have the labor here that enters the country legally, that means that the wall has to be continue to be built. When they come into the country legally and they're able to provide labor for our farmers and our manufacturers, we can compete with anybody across the world. That's because we're Wisconsinites.
Representative Kind, when we look at how we depend on immigrant labor in our workforce, what should the character of the country's immigration policy be?
First of all, Ezra, I hate to always have to correct my opponent's misstatements, but I've been one of the leaders on comprehensive immigration reform in Congress, and it's long overdue. We have a broken immigration system, and there's a way of addressing that. But for the life of me, can't we at least agree as a nation that separating children from their parents is not acceptable? And yet that has been the direct policy of the current administration. Can we agree that we're not going to round up and force out of this country young dreamer DACA students who, through no fault of their own, were brought to America? It has no relationship with any other country in the world, and yet the administration is threatening to send them out of our country. I a little over a year ago, had a meeting with a lot of these DACA students in the district in Arcadia. And at that meeting was the valedictorian of Whitehall and Arcadia High Schools. They weren't going on to school because they didn't qualify for in-state tuition. They didn't qualify for need-based financial aid programs because of their DACA status. That's only holding us back economically. And it's not the right and compassionate thing to do. I work very closely with our family farmers, especially in the dairy industry. If you take a draconian approach to immigrant labor, they will be out of business very quickly, they tell me. So there has to be a way of addressing the workforce needs of the future. Do it legally. There's more we can do to protect our borders as a sovereign nation, but we can do it more effectively and more cost effectively than what the current administration is proposing. But we're going to need to do this because as we emerge from this virus, again, one of the major things holding us back economically is a ready, qualified pool of labor for businesses large and small to be able to tap into. Again, that was a crisis before the pandemic hit, and it will be one that will continue. That's why a large part of my focus has been on workforce development issues. Not everyone wants to or should go to college, but having a good paying job should be a goal for each and every one of us in our local economy. And that's what I'm striving to try to accomplish.
Hey, that's our 10 seconds, please. Ron, if anyone at all in any other industry had been working vigorously on a problem for 24 years and couldn't fix it, they would be fired.
Well, I wish I was a dictator and I could do things on my own, but this is a democracy and it requires bipartisan work in order to get things done. And I'm one of the best at it.
We have just a few minutes left in our conversation, and I do want to give each of you an opportunity at the end to give a closing statement of sorts. And in order to do that, we need to move through our last formal question in a somewhat quick manner. On the issue of agriculture, more than 14 million acres of Wisconsin is farmland. If elected to the House of Representatives, if reelected, I should say, Representative Kind, what will you do to protect the interests of Wisconsin farmers, especially smaller family operations? Go ahead and take about 90 seconds.
Well, Ezra, production agriculture is still one of the biggest, most important industries we have in Wisconsin. I'm proud that both the Wisconsin Farm Bureau and the Wisconsin Farmers Union gave me an award for being a friend of family farmers because they recognize the hard work I do for them each and every day. And my North Star has always been making sure they get a good market price, a good market to sell into so they can pay their bills, keep their operations going. They won't be forced out of business. That is what they want. They don't want more subsidies coming from Washington. 40% of all farm income right now is federal subsidy support programs. That's not what they're asking for. They want trade, not aid. And unfortunately, the president's trade war has resulted in retaliation against our family farmers and our manufacturers, making it difficult for them to export the surplus product so we can improve that market price. They all understand that and they recognize. And I've been one of the leaders of
And since we're on a web forum, I'm having some issues hearing Representative Kind. Mr. Van Orden, we'll continue with you. What about your approach to protecting the interests of Wisconsin farmers?
Hey, you know what? I live on a hobby farm on purpose. I live in a township on purpose. Farmers are the backbone of our nation, and they have been since the inception of our country. Ron Kind is very fond of saying that he supports our farmers, but unfortunately, he is quoted as saying Nancy Pelosi is the gatekeeper for the USMCA trade agreement. That's what he was referring to. He sat on this agreement, and we lost over 840 farms, dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin, some of those being century farms, meaning that those family farms were in someone's family for over 100 years, but Ron Kind chose to play politics and put them above our farmers. We discussed labor and how important that is to dairy farmers. The immigration system has to be modified to make sure that we have year-round labor supply for our farmers. We have to make sure that the regulations that are put in place are not onerous and crushing to our family farms. It's very important that we understand that every single dollar that a family farmer has to spend on trying to figure out a regulation is a dollar that he can't put or she can't put back into the herd or back into their labor force. And then the last things that we can do is making sure that we have country of origin labeling. Argentina has fantastic beef. It sure does. But I'd much rather have a steak that comes from Crawford County. And then truth in advertising. People need to understand that when they think they're buying a dairy product, they're actually buying a dairy product, which is very important. So those are the things that we can do. Affirmative steps that can be taken in a short period of time by the federal government to help farmers. That's from the small family farm all the way up to the corporate farms.
Okay. So just time for a brief closing remark from each of you. We've got just a minute or two left. And so in 30 or 45 seconds, Mr. Van Orden, why should voters choose you to represent Wisconsin's 3rd District in the House of Representatives?
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it greatly. And you've seen that there's a stark difference between myself and Ron Kind. I have a vision for America that's going to bring prosperity and health to our country. And Ron's vision is one of economic failure and despair. He's a high tax guy in a Green New Deal. He'd have you believe that after 2 decades in Congress, he finally has it figured out. And that's just not true. You've learned that I'm not a politician, that I'll do everything I possibly can to help you. And I'm going to make you those 3 promises again right now. Number 1, I'll go to work every single day for you as your representative. Number 2, I am always going to put your interest and the interest of your families above my own. And number 3, I will never lie to you. And those are 3 promises that Ron Kind simply cannot make.
Thank you very much, Mr. Van Orden.
It will be my greatest honor to represent you as your congressman in the 3rd District. So God bless you and God bless your family.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Van Orden. Representative Kind, 45 seconds to you to make your case to the people of the 3rd District.
Well, thank you again, Ezra, for doing this. And I do ask for people's support now and through the election day on November 3rd. Listen, I know the people of this congressional district. And I think the people have gotten a chance to know me, the type of representative that I am, deeply rooted in this district, having raised my family here. I'm also rated as one of the most independent members of Congress, willing to stand up to powerful special interests and the political leadership in both parties when I disagree with them, which I do quite a bit, but also being recognized by the National Chamber of Commerce as being one of the most bipartisan members. We need more of that these days in Washington and Madison. Respectful listening, getting in the same room with our colleagues, finding common ground and getting things done. And that's why I've also been rated as one of the most effective members of Congress, being able to get those bipartisan bills across the finish line. And we're going to need to be able to do 2 things very well at the same time. Protect people's health in the middle of this virus so we can stop the spread, again, by wearing masks and also rebuilding our economy so it's better, stronger, and more inclusive than it's ever been.
I need to stop the conversation right there, and I really greatly appreciate both of you. Representative Ron Kind, the Democrat, Derek Van Orden, the Republican, thank you for joining us. This concludes our Election 2020 special coverage featuring those candidates. Thanks to John Duell, Rob Metzer, and Dean Kallenbach for technical help today. I'm Ezra Wall. Thank you very much to our sponsors at the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce and Wind Technologies. And thank you for joining us for this wonderful conversation on Wisconsin Public Radio.